When do I know I'm exercising faith? Now, many try to work themselves into what they think is faith, and they associate it with a cozy feeling. The Bible says, "For we which have believed," and there's no mention of feeling, "you enter into rest." There is that moment of rest, and there will be no healing without this moment of assurance. It's like dropping a letter into the mailbox. There is a commitment. Regardless of the destination, the final address, across sea or desert, over mountain, you have committed the letter. And you do not go home and investigate the airlines and the postal service and the international agreements. You have placed the letter, and that is all that you can do. He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I know that record, it says, and God rested. That does not suggest indolence or indifference. God was satisfied. He saw that it was good. Assurance is the opposite to restlessness. The work of saving us is God's work. It's not our work. I simply must let him do it. Let us labor, or hasten, therefore, to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The quicker I get to God, the better. Now, this is your assurance in the experience of salvation. The sinner must look away from himself, his fears, his feelings. He must consider only what Jesus has done for him. Is the intercession of Jesus sufficient? Or do I need helps? Candles, prayers, intervention by good people, committees, liturgy. Look unto me and be saved. When I reach this point, it brings a persuasion that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I'm persuaded that God is equal to my problem, whatever it is. David reached this rest. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The secret is looking unto Jesus. Peter and John had learned this lesson well. They bade the man at the gate, "Look on us." They meant, stop looking at yourself, your long history of handicap, your poverty. Peter made no promises. He commanded this man's attention to Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up, walk. Now why praise? Because it shuts the door to complaint, to argument, to the accuser, and praise opens the door to God. Among other remarkable accomplishments, Moses was an outstanding physician. His brilliant and thorough training had skilled him in the advanced techniques of the Egyptians. The Israelites did not say, "Moses prescribed what is best remedy for snake bite." They said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord." So Moses prayed, and he found God's mind and will for the situation. Your look will determine your life, mister. Look where you are going and where you want to go. And now, what is your security? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Pestilence cannot hurt you. You cannot be intimidated. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." If I'm on God's mission, performing God's will, nothing can hurt me. There will be attempts. They laid hands on the apostles and put them into the common prison. It was degrading, and yet God did not allow any harm to come to them. God unlocked that prison and told them, "Go and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the story of the Acts. Peter was delivered. Paul and Silas were delivered. God is always bigger than the prison authorities. He's bigger than physicians, lady. Paul maintained this image. He never admitted that he was the prisoner of Rome. "I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord." The brethren felt, "If ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." You cannot hurt a man so insulated. Jesus knew the security. Neighbors sought to stone him. He moved through them as though he were an inviolate target. He knew the security on the temple premises and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Paul shared this experience. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. How mistaken they were! The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. There were no broken bones, no lacerations, no concussions. He enjoyed divine security. Yet Stephen was stoned. Stephen died. But a man who could look steadfastly into heaven, mister, instead of looking to see who was going to throw the next rock, must be happy and would say, "This is not harm. I choose this rather than anything else." He kneeled down. No one forced him. And he cried with a loud voice. He shouted, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The reason stones did not hurt Stephen was that he took every stone from God. They were the ministry of transportation to him. The victory is to involve yourself constantly in God. You will be attacked, but you cannot be harmed. Now, God never tantalizes his children. He does school his children, and some of the lessons are rugged. Keep this in mind. He made the chains fall off from Paul and Peter, and he'll make sicknesses to let go. Finally, what is the temperament for healing? The answer is a three-letter word, J-O-Y, joy. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. The mood? Well, glory in tribulation. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Count it all joy. That mood cultures healing. Certainly the Christian can be cast down. There are low points, very low points. But the Christian can be cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. There's no room in the believer for that arch enemy, self-pity. I'm not living my own life. I'm living his life. Important are his desires, his choice. I have laid down my life for his sake, as he laid down his life for my sake. So I no longer consult self. When I live for self, I have my reward to be seen of man. The better choice is to be seen of God. Now Jonah knew both sides of the coin. He consulted self and he ran into a storm. He discovered that public opinion couldn't save him, but that God could. And God allowed a storm in the Mediterranean to teach Jonah that lesson. Divine victory is predicated upon my death to self. I must rejoice in him. Self-life is slavery. There is no bondage equal of consulting one's feelings. It will produce condemnation every time. Sign your name to the death warrant of his cross, and let the Spirit of God put you to death so that the life also of Jesus be made manifest in your mortal flesh. In plain language, I mean give in to God's way for you. Now, Jesus demanded this mood. Be of good cheer. It's what's necessary in any sick room. No sick room is the frown of God. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? And Jesus pulled the shade and let the sunshine in. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. That objectivity brings healing. God has better plans for you. Believe it, lady. Believe at all times that God has you in view. That in your deafness, that in your arthritis, that in your insomnia, that in your weakness, the supreme end is always that the works of God should be made manifest in you. Jesus did not do anything until his hour had come, until all was ready. There's a time to pick fruit. There is a tide to set sail. What is it that is bringing you to Jesus? Whatever the circumstance, it's a circumstance of blessing. Without the disciplining experience, you might have been lost forever. Now, you'll have conflicting advice. There are always scribes and Pharisees. These experts will prescribe 1,001 remedies for you. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Jesus will handle these opponents. Wherefore, think ye evil in your hearts. Don't enter an argument. For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. So let the Spirit emphasize the word easier to you. Calvary cancels the debt. So disease is no big thing to Jesus. Nothing kept him in the grave clothes. He's not puzzled by your sickness. You want to be healed? What for? You'll be healed for a testimony. A testimony to Christ's divinity. That he has the authority to forgive sins. He wants to use you to advertise through you his salvation. If he were to heal your body and your soul was left untouched, there would be little gain for you and none for God. So please apply for healing that you may glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I've sung it and I believe it. Jesus breaks every fetter. And this is that moment for you. There is room at the cross for you in these next 10 seconds. Eldon Ansel found the long, long altar at Ulysses Camp's. He was a burdened parent, knelt with us for a wayward child, our daughter who had drifted so far, far, came to Jesus. Robert Dieselbones knelt with us at Woonsocket, Rhode Island. They were so concerned that Lois, a daughter, be filled with the Spirit, and she was. Station KLEP brings the long, long altar into the home of the L.L. Sloans in Mesa, Arizona. And these are among our elderly, and it's an opportunity to share with the body of Christ. Minnie Smith finds the long, long altar at Pullman, Michigan. She knelt to ask that the preaching of revival time would save her 76-year-old brother Jesse. It has. Donald Welch is grateful to station WHOW brings the long, long order to him. He needed to sell a mobile home. He did. The New Testament says in everything, so mingle your petition with praise. Jesus, our Savior, Lord, we're thy body on earth. Is thy purpose to express thy will to us? We pray in obedience, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. And it's our confession for all to hear that thou art the only begotten Son of God, divine, with authority to forgive sin and heal disease. We thank thee for this redemptive ministry at the long, long altar. I pray for those who adopt children. Reward them. I pray for aged ministers who need visitation and financial assistance. I pray for those who cannot find enough heat to keep warm. Spirit of God, keep us sensitive to human need. I ask in the name of Jesus, who loves us all. Amen. The Son of God will write his resurrection credentials upon someone at the meeting. Where Jesus is present, he blesses. There is fullness of joy. Someone with us has lost a valuable keepsake ring. They're seemingly disappeared from sight. You're about to inquire whether or not your insurance may cover such a loss. It won't, but Jesus has. And he'll lead you unerringly toward it. And you will know that your Savior is mindful of all human distress. He says that he will stick closer than a brother. And this personal experience will prove these words true to you. So please, thank him and honor him. I'm his evangelist servant. This wonderful fellowship you've been enjoying is the meeting. Now we're gathered by the Spirit as we shall be in that twinkling of an eye. This is not a program or a promotion. The only name among us is his name, the name of Jesus. Alice Hatt, there in Independence, Missouri, is one of us who believed that every departed saint of God will break out of the grave. She he has experienced the power of God because instantly Jesus broke a long-standing cigarette habit in her life. So it's my business to watch for the Lord's return. And the Holy Spirit will keep you sensitive if you believe that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.